weird to guess to have this thing recorded, but I want no record of this, but I'm sure God's glory will be shining through this. Let me have a word of prayer over the message. Father God, thank you for letting us be able to gather here today. I pray that you use someone such as me, someone worthy of being in this position today, Father God. I just pray that you would speak through me, that I would not be speaking from a man, Father God, but from your words. Let your glory be shown today, Father God. I pray this all in your name. Amen. As I was looking at what exactly I wanted to have this sermon on, pride became the number one topic that I decided to choose. And as I was doing my search, I came across a website that was talking about how pride was considered by some to be the number one sin among seven. In the Catholic Church, there are seven deadly sins. It was sixth century by the Pope Gregory the Great, who declared the seven deadly sins, which are pride, envy, avarice, wrath, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Now, this isn't in Scripture itself, but it is true that pride can be rich soil for many sins to spring out of. The main passage I'm going to take us today based on pride is from Jeremiah chapter 9. It's going to be verses 23 through 24. I'll give you guys a moment to get over there. And it says, starting in verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." There's three boasts that says there in that first verse there: boast in his wisdom, boast in his might, and boast in his riches. All of these are boasting in oneself, which is in itself pride. The Webster's Dictionary defines pride as the quality or state of being proud, self-esteem, as unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority and talents, a sense of one's own worth, an abhorrence of what is beneath or unworthy of one, lofty self-respect, noble self-esteem, elevation of character. All of these in pride is self-centeredness towards oneself, going over again one's own superiority and talents, what one can do, looking inward, one's own worth, one who abhors what is beneath himself, one who says, oh, that is, I can't do that. That's below me. Lofty self-respect, not in a good self-respect, but one that lifts himself puffed up above others. As I was thinking about how the Pope defined the seven deadly sins, I was thinking about how Jesus himself summarized the law into two. In Matthew 22, verse 37-38 reads, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now this summarizes the law into two: love God and love your neighbor. Love is both defined in both of those. It's an outward aspect. It's looking at how someone else should be rather than looking inward, which is pride. It's love of self rather than love of others. This is the exact contrast of what Jesus taught there. Looking at the first boast in Jeremiah, boast in his wisdom, led me to all the way back to Genesis, where we there in the garden at the very beginning, the very first sin, back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And it says in verse 3, "But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." This is the woman speaking to the serpent. "But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise," notice wise there, "she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Eve saw that it was desirable to make one wise, and so she took of the fruit. And thinking of that, boasting in one's wisdom, God sees as faulty, because in our own wisdom, back all the way in the garden, we saw that it was wise to take of the fruit which God said not to. It was wise in our own sight that it would make us like God, it says, that it would open our eyes, knowing good and evil. And it did open our eyes, unfortunately. It opened our eyes to a world of sin. In our wisdom, it led to our own destruction. Later on, she gives birth to Cain and Abel, who Cain, in his pride, kills his brother. It is so fast how fallen we've become, just from that simple, just one stage, from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel, and the first death is written in the book. And it isn't very much longer till one is starting to boast in killing a man. Cain, a few generations down in his line, Lamech, in verse chapter 4, verse 23, says, "Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zilah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me." The wisdom of man leads to our own destruction. It is not in our wisdom that we gain anything, it is from God. God gives us the wisdom. The next boasting he speaks of is boasting in our own might. So let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Why? Because his folly. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, nor the rich man boast in his riches. An example I have for that one is we're going to turn over to Daniel, chapter 4, verses 28 through 33. And this is when Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel's with Nebuchadnezzar at this time as he has taken Israel into captivity. And he is casually walking around his palace, admiring the works of his hand, not knowing that God was behind him, giving him the authority to take Israel. But looking at it in his own might, and in his own, looking at his riches. And starting in verse 28, it reads, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built with my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still... Let me just pause there for a second. How full of oneself is that? To look at the kingdom that he has under him, and to say to himself, look at what I've built for myself. Look at what I have here to display my power, to display my majesty. Such an arrogant thing to say. Yet I can find myself saying that sometimes about the things I have, the little, immaculate, small things I have. Oh, God, forgive me. But it goes on and says, starting in verse 31, while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to who he wills. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among the men, and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of the heavens, until his hair grew as long as the eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws. The God humbled Nebuchadnezzar at that time. He was proud and arrogant in his own, and God lowered him to an animal state. At the moment, while he was still in the king's mouth. And why? It was that the Most High will show that he rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. That's why in Jeremiah, the Lord says that it's not the wisdom of men that we should boast in, nor the might or the riches of men. Why? Because they're not ours. They're given to us from God. And it goes, let those who boast in that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. So these things are all from God. And both of these instances, both Eve, who took from it, thought she was gaining extra wisdom, when really wisdom was from God in the beginning. He said, do not eat from that fruit. The riches and the might given to King Nebuchadnezzar were from God, though he saw it as his own. But boasting, he says, rather we should boast in the Lord. And continuing with Nebuchadnezzar, starting in verse 34, says, and at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised him and honored him for who lives forever. For his dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Do you see that? Isn't that how God, he was humbled. He looked to heaven at that time, understanding that God was the one who gave him everything, humbled himself, and God regained his sanity. And he gave him back, Nebuchadnezzar, everything again. And he says continuing in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are true, his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. What do we gain from that? God humbles the proud. Nebuchadnezzar then realized that his reign would end, but God's dominion lasts forever. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom faded away, but God's kingdom, he said, was from generation to generation. So looking at that in comparison to our lives, we can sometimes be very prideful people. I know in America we have the saying, we'll lift ourselves up by our bootstraps, and that we can overcome. It's the self-centeredness that which is, it's okay to have a pride, but the pride that makes you, that brings you to the, I'm self-reliant, I need no one else other than myself. And God humbles that. He says we should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, in verses 24, that I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love, practices justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight in, declares the Lord. I can't just leave us in saying that pride is how prideful we are and how we need to be better people and go out there and do this, because we can't do this within ourselves. It's a grace and work of God through us. Thanks be God to Jesus Christ, who did come and was a humble person who, as he was being beaten for us, did not say, I deserve better than this. He humbly submitted to men to die for our sins. Humbly submitted all the way to death on the cross, even to sin and death, that he would be risen again. And I thank God for it every day. In ending, I wanted to read this here. It's called But Jesus. It says, we take pride in birth and rank, but instead of Jesus, he was a carpenter's son. We take pride in our possessions, but as Jesus said, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. We take pride in our respectability, but instead of Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? We take pride in our friendship, but instead of Jesus, he was a friend of publicans and sinners. We take pride in our degrees and learning, but Jesus never went to college. And instead of him, how knows this man letters, having never learned to read? We take pride in our positions, but Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. We take pride in our success, but instead of Jesus, his own did not receive him or believe on him. He was despised and rejected. We take pride in our self-reliance, but instead of Jesus, he went down to Nazareth and was subject to his parents. We take pride in our abilities, but Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. We take pride in our self-will, but Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the Father's. And if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We take pride in our intellect, but Jesus said, as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. We take pride in our resentment and justifiable pride, but Jesus said, Father, forgive them. We take pride in the fact that we are the righteousness of God, but instead of Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father God, I thank you for coming to this world to forgive us of our sin of pride, even from the very beginning in the garden, the pride that made us fall, Father God, for wanting to be like you. Father, and you came in humility. You came all the way to the cross, Father God, and humble servant to die for a proud people. Father God, thank you for saving us. Go with us now as we go into our communities, Father God, to help us resemble you more and more every day, Father God. Christ, in your name, amen.